Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study found on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other useful resources. You are listening to Lesson 23, a review of Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20, entitled, Jesus Goes Straight for the Heart. I'm coming to you today from our Lawton Avenue Chapel. It's a beautiful March afternoon, not a cloud in the sky. You can hear the birds chirping and the lawnmowers out working. It's a time when most of us feel free and we feel completely alive. But Jesus would have us to be concerned with our hearts. And Jesus is the great heart knower. And in this lesson, we see Jesus going straight for the heart. Now, for these people in Jesus' time and for Jesus, they found religious debate to be something that was common. And debate can be productive. Debating an issue can be something that can be helpful. However, arguing can wear you out. Arguing and fussing and fighting can just drain the life out of you. It can make your heart feel dull and dry. And the Lord Jesus would have our hearts fully committed to Him, which means we'd be fully alive to Him. Now, during Jesus' 3.5-year ministry on earth, He found Himself oftentimes embroiled in controversy. Now, we need to underscore this. It was not His fault for the controversy. I mean, Jesus is the truth. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, for instance, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. So the problem is not in the truth. The problem lies in the hearts of those who contended with Him. The unbelieving religious leaders were the ones then who were at fault. Their hearts were at fault. They were at fault. Their refusal to believe the Scripture and all the Scriptures had to say about the Christ caused them to react violently against Jesus. And what's worse, these religious leaders jettisoned the Scriptures, which predicted the coming of Christ. And when Christ came, could underscore everything Jesus did. They jettisoned the Scriptures and rested their confidence and their security on the traditions of the elders that went before them, generation after generation after generation. Of course, we know that to place any confidence and security on the words and traditions of men rather than on God and His Word is folly. Jesus went straight for the heart. And even though we oftentimes feel so good inside and so alive, the Lord would have us to give Him our hearts. In this lesson, Jesus is going after issues of life that find their wellspring in the heart. So, two points today in this short sermon on Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 20. Two rules, I guess, two lessons is let Scripture rule and let Scripture reveal. Now, Scripture has to rule our hearts. Scripture is useful, the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy, for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness. Now in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, we can see that these religious leaders had moved far from Scripture and had anchored themselves, set their rules according to the traditions of the elders who went before them. Now I trust you've read this section of Scripture to understand what I'm talking about. Now in a business situation, most of us would be the kind that when we hear that the big wheels are coming down from headquarters, when the boss is coming, everybody knows that they don't come unless there's trouble. So everybody tries to get the office all cleaned up and make everything look spick and span, or at least they should anyway, show due respect. And here in Matthew 15, no doubt the people noticed here in this region near Galilee, at least I believe it is, they noticed that the Pharisees, the big wheels of Judaism, were coming. They came down from Jerusalem to the region in Galilee. Now look at your map. And you'll see that Galilee is north of Jerusalem. So when we say they come down from, it's because Jerusalem was, A, on a very high part of the nation of Israel. They were situated on a mountain. But the fact that Jerusalem takes a preeminent view in the mind of a Jewish person, especially at that time, even today, so to say that someone came down from Jerusalem was, in fact, giving honor to Jerusalem. So these big wheels came down from Jerusalem to Galilee to confront Jesus. They were important leaders. They were respected in the Jewish community. They were important not only to the Jewish people, but they were important to the Roman occupiers at the time because these leaders helped keep the people calmed down. The Jewish leaders were looking to have some authority, and the only way that they could have some position and status in, even in among the Roman occupiers was to keep the Jewish people calmed down. And Jesus was seen as one who was a troublemaker. You can imagine that. But when it came to religious matters, none were more serious about their religious traditions and practices than these leaders. And to see Jesus coming in, not preaching against the law, but one who was demonstrating the life of God before their very eyes, this became offensive to these religious leaders. They came asking the big question, why? Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, I guess if you're going to pick fights, you'd better go for the big one. And this must have been a big issue for these religious leaders of the Jews. Why in the world? They weren't just asking the question for common knowledge. They were berating Christ when they asked this question. Why in the world do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They make the matter over hand washing, but it could have been anything at all, just so they could make an accusation of some kind. But this, you think about it, you have to look pretty carefully, and you've got to have somebody's life under a magnifying glass to pick up on this matter of washing hands. Wouldn't they have picked up something if there was something big? Why do your disciples not attend synagogue? Well, they went to synagogue. Why do your disciples not give the temple tax? They gave the temple tax, and so on. So I think they had Jesus under the microscope as well as his disciples. There's absolutely no charge that they could bring against the Lord Jesus Christ. But they brought an accusation of some kind. This must have been way down on the list of must-dos. But by finding fault in the disciples, do you realize they were essentially laying the blame at the feet of Jesus, who was known as the rabbi of the disciples? And they were accusing Jesus of being an immoral leader. Immoral because he ignored the tradition of the elders and made the word of God take preeminence in his life, which we'll see in just a minute. But Jesus didn't answer their question, and he didn't even become upset at the implication of their question. But he asked them a why question as well. Why in the world are you breaking the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Why are you putting your own thoughts before God's? Why God's ideas? Why are you putting your words as supreme over the word of God? And he lays the blame at their feet. Why are you? And in case they're not sure what he's talking about, he used a living illustration in verses 4 through 6 to shine the light of the law of God on their behavior. So the bottom line, Scripture trumps every tradition every time. Every time. Now we have to make sure that we are learning and listening and living by Scripture according to the Word of God. When those who teach us teach the Scripture, we benefit, truly benefit, because it's as if God Himself was speaking to us. And we're built up in our faith because God's Word is nourishing and protective. We have to let Scripture rule our hearts, that we think the thoughts that are pleasing to God, and live according to those things which God says pleasing to Him. God's Word truly is nourishing to our souls and protective of us. By His words we are led away from temptation. By his words, we're led to the grace of the gospel through faith in Jesus Christ. The result of letting the word of God rule in our hearts is that our lives will well up and fill up and spill over as a life saturated in the presence of God through worship, as we worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to live a life like that. I hope you do too. A life of worship wherein we behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ and live in such a way that we love him and love one another as we serve one another because of what God has done for us. Well, the second point in this text, I think, that stands out is that we need to let Scripture reveal. And truly, the Scripture does reveal. In this revelation, we see the clear evidence of the law of God, which stands against us, and we see the gospel. Now, I only found one verse where I could say the gospel just stands out. I found plenty of verses where the law of God is made clear, and I'm made to want to run to the gospel. Give me some good news. Now, we're going to backtrack a little bit to verses 8 and 9. Here, Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And he let this scripture of Isaiah stand directly against the very leaders that came to rebuke him, because he's still talking to them. And he says that this scripture from Isaiah is directly prophesied against these leaders who were coming to Jesus to accuse him. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. That is from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke according to the Spirit of Christ hundreds of years before Christ came. And yet it's appropriate to this moment when Jesus is being rebuked by the religious leaders, and the rebuke is against them. The Word of God condemns them. The law of God condemns them. Every word Jesus spoke against them in the first section, verses 1 through 10, 1 through 9, he always quoted Scripture. He quoted the Ten Commandments, and he instructed out of it, and he quoted Isaiah. So think of it, the Word, that is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, quoted his Word to rebuke and correct those who were blind to the truth. And the point is crucial as we come into this section, that is, Jesus was careful to call all those who gathered around him to listen and understand. Do you get that in verse 10? Listen and understand. Let me ask you this, because I have to ask me this. When I look at the Word of God, when I begin to read it, or when someone's teaching it, am I mindful of the fact Jesus calls me to listen and understand? Jesus called them to hear the Word, understand the Word, pay attention, fight to stay awake if need be. Well, the crux of the matter, according to Jesus, is the heart, and that which it, and all the things that issue from the heart, the issues of the heart, that which pours out of the heart. The religious leaders were concerned about outward appearances, and as we look at verses 10 through 20, we see that Jesus, though, was concerned with the inward man. Jesus goes to the heart. He doesn't say that the heart of man is good and wonderful and something to be celebrated. No, he makes it clear that that which issues from the heart, that which comes out of the natural man, is unclean, that it's sinful. You can read those verses and you'll see what I'm talking about. Jesus makes it clear. He applies the law of God to bring the truth of man, what God says about man. He brings it to light. The truth is that the law of God stands against every human being. And every human being is desperately needing God's grace. Every human being falls short of the glory of God and is needing someone to stand before God in his place. We could say it like this. We need someone whose performance record is perfect before God. God demands a perfect performance record. The problem we have, it's not just that we've messed up, but the Bible tells us our hearts are, our minds are at enmity with God. But nevertheless, how could we read Jesus' words about the heart in this passage and then have confidence in our own performance before God? Jesus says this is what comes out of the heart. Those people who trust in their own performance record of right actions and right works and right words and right thoughts, like the Pharisees, will be judged and condemned. His words are not of God. These things he enlarges on. He says, look, these things flow out of the heart. That's what makes a person unclean. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands doesn't make him unclean. You get the point. Jesus is going for the heart. About this time, we need the gospel. And verse 13 of chapter 15 tells us the gospel. He says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Here's our hope, that we would be a planting of God. Those who are a planting of God have Jesus' performance record of righteous works credited to them through faith. Both his death on the cross and his righteous life are counted to the person who believes through faith according to the grace of God. We're justified by grace through faith in Christ alone. So as you listen to Jesus in this passage and passages to come, he brings to light God's law upon your heart. You're convicted of sin. The question is, what is your response? Those who are not a planting of God will run and harden their heart all the more. But those who are a planting of God will, as Jesus said, infers, will produce fruit. Will you agree with him then and thank him for all the fact that all the sins of your heart and your sinful acts were put upon him as he died on the cross? Will you receive his perfect performance record that he performed God's law perfectly on your behalf? Would you receive that through faith? Jesus goes for the heart. Does he have your heart? Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.